Isaiah chapter 3, and let us read responsively from verses 16 all the way to Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1. Okay, we shall read verse 16. I shall read verse 16. Please respond with the odd-numbered verses. Verse 16. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their cords and their round tires like the moon. The bonnets, the ornaments of the legs, the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink, and instead of a girdle, a rent, and instead of well-set hair, boners, and instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. And her gates shall lament and moan, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground. And in that day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. The Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. I'd like to now call upon Brother Hong Hao to open us in prayer. Brother Hong Hao, please. Okay, in our last lesson, we learned a restatement or about Reventos' restatement about Isaiah chapter 3, verses 16 to Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1. And so, what is this restatement? James. Yeah, James, right? There's only one James. Preacher James is not here. So, there's only one James. James Tan. Actually, also, James Tang, right? James Tan, yeah. James Tang. Last week, we learned a restatement of Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16 to Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1. You know what is restatement? You have this whole passage, and then we use one statement to summarize the entire passage. And what was that statement? If not, I have to ask Miranda. Miranda should know. No, no, not present. Oh, Galen should know. Galen, I spare you. Actually, I can ask all the things of Galen because Galen has heard this before. But this is more informal here. Oh, okay. Very good. You see, you must thank the adults for helping you. Okay, from coquettes to Cinderella, okay? I have not finished with you yet, James. Okay, James, what is a coquette? Pronounced as coquette. You want some help? A lot of Ebenezer here today. Don't bully Matthew. Matthew, when he attends FCM, he always receives questions from me. Now he's on attachment. I want to spare him. So we ask Gershon. Gershon, if I say Gideon, now to specify which Gideon, there's Gideon Tong De Piang. De Piang, right? De, right? De Piang, and there's another Gideon Yao. Yes, coquette. Because I know that we went past this very fast the last lesson, so I want to see whether you can remember. What is coquette? Correct. Someone who flirts. That is correct. A woman who flirts. Not just a... This is not a man, huh? Not a man who flirts, okay? A coquette is a woman who flirts, likes to flirt with men, a socialite. And this is exactly how the women were behaving during the time of Isaiah in society. Now, this is supposed to be a spiritual nation. You expect the lady to be godly in their conduct. But what we have are ladies behaving very much like prostitutes in that particular nation. How do we know this? Because if you look at Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 16, it says here, "Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion," and take note, the daughters of Zion. Zion is supposed to be the place whereby you have the temple. In the capital itself, in Jerusalem, what you have are these daughters within the proximity of the temple itself. And they were behaving in a very proud way. And how is their pride manifested in? In the way they look and in the way they dress. Now, what kind of looks were they giving? The Bible here says they walk out with stretched forth necks. They think that they are somebody. Now, you will realize, especially about socialites in society, the way they behave. Right? How do they behave? Do they walk like very, very humble? Hi, ni hao. No, right? They were dressed in a certain way, and when they walk, they like to, right? You know, we socialize in society the way, you know, we talk about how certain women would dress. In Singapore, sometimes they use the term tai tai, although I'm very careful to use the word tai tai, because not all tai tais are like that. I mean, you know, some, they were. And then they go to their dining places with their wine glasses. Right? We literally stretch forth their necks. That's why the Bible is very accurate in the description of human behavior. That's the way they behave. Right? They walk with stretched forth necks and with wanton eyes. And this wanton eyes basically means deceiving with their eyes. And what kind of deception? To deceive men, silly men, to be taken into their bosom and to commit all kinds of sexual acts, right? Fornication, in other words. And this was exactly what Solomon warned in Proverbs chapter 7. You turn with me to Proverbs chapter 7. And by the way, when you read this warning in Proverbs, please bear in mind, the person whom the Lord used to give us these commandments, this passage of scripture, this person is Solomon. Remember Solomon's weakness? Solomon's weakness is women. Right? The irony. So better take heed, right? You turn to Proverbs chapter 7, and Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6, all the way to verse 23. We're going to read this. I'm going to read to you, and you look at how descriptive the Bible is about wanton looks of women, and how the woman will use these looks to seduce men. Watch. "For at the window of my house, I look through my casement." So Solomon was seated in the window. He was looking out. He was seeing how the people behave in everyday life. And this was already in Solomon's time, which was before the time of Isaiah. "He beheld among the simple ones, I discern among the youth, a young man void of understanding." So this is a simple man. Void of understanding means he is not a person very well-versed in terms of the scriptures. He does not really have spiritual wisdom. When we mean not well versed in the scriptures, it doesn't mean that the man may not be able to recite scriptures, because we know that the young men in those days, right, they would have to memorize chunks and chunks of scripture, because they don't have printed Bibles like what we have today, right? And the scriptures were part of their life. They had to go through all this religious teaching. They would have to remember all these things. But whether or not they had spiritual understanding of what they were reading, or what they were memorizing, what they were reciting, is another matter. This person, he seems to not have that kind of spiritual understanding. And so, there he is going, he is passing through the street near her corner where this woman was seated, and he went the way to her house. You realize that all these things, they don't occur in the morning, you know. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, Why? Because they know that it is something shameful, but they still want to do it. And then, behold, they met with a woman with the attire of an harlot. So please do not think that dress is neutral. There is such a thing as an attire of a harlot, a wrong way of dressing. So sometimes people come to church, they say, oh, dressing is inconsequential. You can just come dress any way that you like, and it is fine before the Lord. Anyway, it is the heart that matters. Your heart will be reflected in your dressing. And so in this case, this person, she obviously know what she's going to do. She's going to be a harlot, and so she dressed in a particular way that suits her agenda. Will you see a harlot? No, if she really wants to hook on to men, dress all cover up and then don't put any type of heavy makeup and whatever, and then the hair all messy and whatever, and then they come before you and then say, and then, hi, do you see a harlot behave that way? No, right? They obviously know how to wear, what to dress, and how to look at men. And so this lady, she knows how to dress. She is subtle of heart. In other words, she is cunning. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in the house, so she is not willing to be in the house, helping in terms of the affairs of the household. Now she is without on the outside, in the streets. She lieth in wait at every corner. Now she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face say unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day I have paid my vows. See that? Oh, you know, I give all my peace offering, sin offering, burnt offering, whatever kind of offering I gave. So then I'm now clean before the Lord. Ceremonially clean. The Lord has declared all your sins are forgiven. So now therefore, can commit sin. Right? That's the thinking of the world, isn't it? The world like to use religion to cover up all these things. Modern day will be what? Hey, don't be surprised. All these harlots can be in the church. Hey, I go to church. No, I've gone to church on Sunday. Really, now I'm clean. Come on. Come with me, lah. Be very careful. Maybe religious woman, apparently. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face. Wow, you look how sweet she is with the words. I come to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved works with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Wow, all kinds of fragrance, you can smell it. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Well, the Bible really very descriptive, huh? Take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace with loves. Plural. You know what it means, right? It means truly enjoy making love all the way from the night all the way to the morning. For the good man. Wow, so she is married somehow. For the good man is not at home. He is gone a long journey. So please don't think that harlots only restricted to single women. Huh? This is a married woman. The good man is not here. He is gone. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. In other words, he is not at home, gone to a far country. Modern day, he went to so-and-so a country to do business. Don't worry, he won't come back. I'm all alone. Come, come. And so, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. How can flattery be forcing? And yet, in this scriptures, it says the flattery forced that particular person. In other words, her employing of flattery is so good that the person seems to have no choice but to just follow her into the house. So be very careful. There are women that are like this. And he goeth after her straightway as a ox goeth to the slaughter, right? Lick an ox just to kill it. Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, that means as a fool being led to be hung. Till a dart strike through the liver as a bird hasteth to the snare. There is a snare down there with a foot, with a bait. You purposely put this kind of bait in order to attract certain birds, in order to catch these birds and then to kill them. Well, this man, like this bird, like, fly there and eat, poop, and then that's it. And knoweth not that it is for his life. What you see down here in Proverbs chapter 7, verses 6 to 23, would be a description of wanton looks and wanton behavior. Right, so you want to look for exposition of the word wanton, this is it. Proverbs chapter 7. Look at how this woman behaved. And this would be the description of what you see in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16. This type of behavior. Can you imagine that the people in the nation of Israel behaving this way? And yet, this is true. And woe betide if we have women in the church behaving this way. And I believe we do not have. I hope not. If we have, then we better quickly repent. Of course, while we talk about women here, I think the women are here. Do they all talk about me? No. Please take note with regards to men. Also, there can be wanton men. Like wanton men, those who are called the playboys. What is a nice term for playboys? Refined term? Sister Dorcas, do you know? A refined term for playboys? Yeah, English. Chinese, 花花公子. Yeah. Ah, Casanova. Right, so coquettes for ladies, Casanova for men. Please be careful also, men. And men, you also, I'm sure the men down here also know the way to dress in order to attract a woman. Also know the right kind of words to say to a woman in order to attract their attention. I'm sure men will know. I mean, especially if you have that kind of heart. Yeah, you will know what to do. Unless you are the type of men who are blur like sotong. Otherwise, you sure know what to do. This kind of behavior should not be in the church. And the Lord hates it, as you can see down here, because the Lord judged this behavior very seriously. How did the Lord judge? Well, the Lord says, will smite a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion. In other words, I will make them bald, I will make them naked. Or since they want to dress this way, and behave this way in order to attract men, in order to commit this kind of harlotry, well, I will make it impossible for them to do so. Since they like shame, I will give them shame. And that is what the Lord will do. And you know that this happened when the Lord judged Israel, especially, or rather the southern kingdom, like when there's the invasion of the Babylonians. The Babylonians really raided Israel. The babies, they were dashed against the stone. And then with regards to the women, well, the women were raped. This happens in a lot of wars, isn't it? This happens during the Japanese occupation. And please take note, this is nothing new. What you see in the Japanese occupation also happened throughout history. The victors, they like to take women, they would like to rape them, they will make them naked, and they would like to disgrace them. And that is what the Babylonians would do to them. And all their nice dresses, wow, I do not need to go through all the way they dress. Look at how much attention the Lord placed on their dressing. See that? Wow, they are very well decorated. I think any one of us down here cannot compare to them. But some of the socialites out there, even today, right, when you look at how they dress, look at how recently in the news court, there are some famous Malaysian socialites, right? You should know. At least there's one famous one right now in the news. You don't know. That lady owned a lot of Prada bags, both genuine and fake one. Brother Bing Hock knows that name already. Like you see the way they dress. You look at that particular woman. It's exactly like this, right? Correct? Those are the unbelievers. Can you imagine in the nation of Israel, they dress like that? Right, they have their chains, their bracelets, their mufflers. Modern day will be Prada bag lah. Don't know what kind of wallet lah. What is that name? The bag. Oh yeah, I know. Najib, and then you reverse. Right, Bijan bag. Bijan bag. Right, wow, Bijan bag. I never heard before. No, until that day, until it came out in the news. Bijan bag. What is this kind of brand? What Bijan sounds very. I thought, what kind of funny brand? Doesn't sound very attractive. One never know that it is. Wow, the most expensive bag in the world. Each one is uniquely made, you know, and then sold. Only the richest in the world can buy. Wow. So carry all these bags, everything they carry. So the all these women, they dress like that. And then every one of these things will be taken away from them, and they will truly become a Cinderella. The Cinderella that lies in the cellar, not the Cinderella that goes to after that transformed by the fairy. This is the Cinderella that is in the cellar. They are made that way. And so, both women as well as men, please be very, very careful with regards to this. Firstly, your own behavior. Don't behave in a flirtatious way. Also, in terms of your dressing, because your heart will be reflected in your dressing. Don't dress in a way in which it will elicit shame and promote this kind of conduct in the people of God in church. The society will dress that way. You cannot prevent it because the people in society, they do not know the word of God. They do not have spiritual wisdom. But the church, you are supposed to be a place with spiritual wisdom. And so therefore, you better make sure in terms of your clothing, you dress appropriately. And this is where I would like to pose questions to Ebenezer, because they have attended a series, a message on modest dressing, right? Yes, Rachel? I remember. I do not forget. The scriptures do teach us about the function of dressing, and that is what we need to know, the function of clothes. Clothes is not just for us to put on and then to show off as though we are very rich and mighty, or to show off our flesh. That is not the function of clothes. Now, where can we learn about the function of clothes? Okay. Gideon Yao. Now I must say Gideon Yao already. Which part of Genesis? Right. At first they were naked, right? And then they had no shame because they do not know sin, right? But when sin came, what happened to... when sin came, like when they fell into sin, what happened? Because of sin, now they were naked, they knew shame, right? And what did they do? Immediately. Right, they cover up their shame, right? That would be Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 to 7, right? You turn to Genesis chapter 3. Verses 6 to 7. And here the Bible says, and then when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and they make themselves aprons. See that? They make themselves aprons, something basic, just to cover themselves up. So they know how to make clothes to cover their shame. And then later on, we read in verse 21 that this was not enough, right? And so God set an example and pattern for them, right, in verse 21. And to Adam also and to his wife, did the Lord God make coat of skins and clothe them. See that? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21. Now, of course, we know that this provision of the coat of skins is also to tell them that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But at the same time, right, and of course, the need of a blood offering. But at the same time, it also serves as a function of covering up their shame. Now, the key here is this. You look at the word coats here. Now, the word coats here is not the usual word for clothes. What is the usual word for clothes, Shemaine? Hebrew word. Don't give me Greek. I cannot remember it. I think you cannot ask anyone already. Down here, don't have. Right, this is not the usual word for clothes, okay? Go and find out, Shemaine. Or you want me to give you the answer? Check your phone. This is not the usual word for coats. The usual word for coats or clothes, right, is the word baguette, right? Rachel, where are you? Next time you take over. Baguette, garment, right? That is not the word that is used here, right? The word that is used here, right, this is cut a knot, right? Cut a knot. What does cut a knot mean? Cut a knot, of course, in plural, right? Cut a knot. This word is used not very often in the scriptures. Wherever it's used, it is often used by the courts that are worn by royalty. Worn by royalty. Right? So not anybody can wear this kind of clothes. Now, why did the scripture purposely use this type of word to describe the clothes which God have made? Well, because what the scripture wants to tell us is that when God created this coat, it's not just suka-suka he created the coat. He did it according to his wisdom, he did it according to his design, and specially gave it to Adam and Eve, so that this coat may perform its function in order to cover up their shame. And so please understand that when it comes to the doctrine of clothing, what is the purpose of clothing? The purpose of clothing really is for the purpose of covering up shame, not to expose shame. That is what we must understand. And then later on, when we look into the scriptures, we realize, for example, in the passage in the book of Deuteronomy, there are warnings whereby God would say, for example, Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. Right, we will see another function of clothing besides covering up shame. Right, Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. And here, God's word says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." See that? And so, another function of clothing really is to help put everything in its proper order. In other words, to help us distinguish a woman from a man. A woman wears like a woman, a man wears like a man. A woman should not wear anything pertaining to a man should not wear anything pertaining to a woman and look like, and behave and look like a woman. And this, the Bible actually says that it is an abomination. How often do we see in the world today whereby people like to dress like the opposite sex? The woman, they would like to dress like men, true? They like to cut their hair very short, they like to wear pants, they like to wear the guy's clothes, and then they will behave in a certain manner, like a man. Oh, that is not good. The Bible actually says down here that it's not right, it's an abomination before the Lord. If somebody comes and then looks at you from afar, never take a close look at you, and they think that you are a man, woman, you are in deep trouble. Really, you are in deep trouble, because that's what the Lord wants down here, abomination. Children of Israel, you don't dress that way. And then, same for the men. Nowadays, the men also like to dress like a woman, right? Promoted by which kind of culture? Which culture likes to do this? Y'all don't know. Come on, especially young people, y'all don't know. The adults, they look at me, blah, blah, maybe I understand, because they live in the time whereby men like to dress like men, right? Where got men like to dress like women? No. But the young people today, very different. Which culture? Come on, you don't tell me you don't know. Okay, Gideon Yao, one more time. Or should I ask Daniel? Okay, I'll ask ahead, like Daniel. Because I made a promise that I don't ask Matthew anymore, right? Daniel Lai. You do Korean, correct, Korean. You look at some of the Korean boy band, you look at the way they dress, they come to Singapore and then they put the pictures. Sometimes you take a look. Wow, the face look even more sculptured than the lady, you know. True or not? The way they dress, and then the lips put red and everything, and then the kind of collar also they have, they wear. Does he not look like a lady? And of course, in the Western culture also, you have the same happening. This is not how a Christian should dress. So, don't go and blindly follow all this culture. You look at how these people wear, and then you go and follow without thinking what is the message that you send. The scripture here warns us against this. When you have dressing, it should present to people proper order. So, in other words, you should dress according to what the Lord wants you
to be,
what the Lord has designed you to be, and also for the proper occasion you dress appropriately. The doctrine of dressing. And so be very aware of all these things, and be very aware, beware of this thing that is called cosplay. Because in cosplay, oftentimes the people like to dress like all the anime characters. In the first place, why you want to dress like anime character? I do not know. Because all this anime, a lot of things behind this anime is very evil and wicked. And then you go and dress like all these characters, and then some they even go and cross-dress. The men go and dress like a woman, the woman go and dress like a man. True? Because they like some of these characters in the... Actually, anime is a cartoon. Right? And manga is a what? It's a comic. And they want to dress like all these characters. And they don't mind, they struck. And then we as Christians, we go and cheer. Wow, very nice. These things are actually an abomination before the Lord. And so beware, especially of cross-dressing. When somebody cross-dress and then acts even in drama, they act men like a kunyang, please don't go and laugh and clap at it. It's actually wickedness. It's wickedness. So be careful of all these things. And all these things, they take place in tertiary institutions. And sometimes even in workplaces, right? You have your D&D. All these things may happen, you know. Like those who go to work, your D&D, you all should know. Some companies who are more liberal, they may actually have all these shows they are on. They may even invite some of these people to come on stage. And then they even may ask company people to take part in all these drama and acts. You better be careful. Christians should not be like this. Now, what is the principle in which Christians should abide by? Right, you turn with me to, right, First Timothy, I believe. First Timothy chapter 2. Okay, Brittany. Right, since Ebenezer, I've gone through it before. Tell me, what is the key word that we should be looking for in 1 Timothy chapter 2, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we will be reading this. After we read it, you please tell everyone what is the keyword that we should be looking at, okay? And this keyword appears, keyword in the Greek appears three times. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and then verse 9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls and costly array, but which becometh woman professing godliness with good works. What is the key word down here? Can remember? No? Okay, I give you 30 seconds because we cannot wait forever. You want the other ladies to help you? Yes, not Rachel. Rachel should know, right? Rachel, please know. Please tell me you know. Okay, Rachel should know. Okay, not just godliness. That one is later on, okay? And we will be talking about it. Because this will inform us how to understand Isaiah chapter 3, right? We are going through all these things to help us understand why such things happening in Israel is an abomination. Modest, okay. And that same word modest is also found in verb form and as an adjective, right? In other places, right? What are these other words? Okay, Rachel, you help her. You also tell me the Greek word. You're a Greek student, right? Yes? Okay, come. Shamefacedness, good. That's the adjective. And then, what else? Not sobriety. Sobriety is a different word. The verb. You have the noun, like modest apparel. You have the verb. You have the adjective, shamefacedness. Adorn, that's the verb. And this verb is what verb? forget already. Okay, never mind. Shiming, you can remember, no? Cannot remember. Okay, never mind. Okay, Rachel, read. Good. Cosmeo, right? In other places of the scripture, sometimes it's translated as the world, but when it's used in that particular context, it often describes how this world was created with orderliness and design. This is also the word where we get the English word cosmetics. So actually, what is the proper function of cosmetics? Now, this word here, remember, it has the understanding of orderliness. So cosmetics actually was made in the beginning to do what? And not to make you look like a flirt, or to make you like a prideful woman. Okay? Cosmetics actually meant to make you look what? Orderly. If you want to use cosmetics, you use it in that proper way. It's okay. But don't go and use it in order to make you look in like a worldly woman. Please don't do that. Okay? Cosmeo. Orderliness, and that is the key down here. Orderliness, everything in its proper order. That is how you should dress. Dress to make you be an orderly person, a person that is orderly in terms of the scriptures. I am a sober person. That's why you have shamefacedness, right? And then after that, sobriety. The word sobriety there actually has also the meaning of shamefacedness. In other words, a sense of shame. And then after that, also in terms of behavior, you are not like a drunkard. You are a person that is very well aware that you are called to be a Christian and you are walking in the ways of the Lord. Your clothing must come to reflect that. And obviously, that was not how the way the women were dressed in those days. Now, we are talking about women. We also want to talk about men. Men also, please beware. That all these things are important. Please dress orderly and appropriately for the occasion. Okay. It also means, like, for example, you come to church, please come to church dressed appropriately. Don't come to church dressed in like you're going to market. Right? That's not how the way you should come to church. Come to church dressed properly in order to meet the King. Right? You're coming to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? And so you should come dressed appropriately. Then when you go for an interview, you dress appropriately. You don't go into the interview dressed like a pop star, no? Especially young people. Sometimes they go, they seem like don't know how to dress. Sometimes very worried for this generation. I look at the way they go and dress to go for interview. They dress like straight from out the K-pop show, like that. Dress, all kinds of, and then go and meet. And then you go to the interview, and then you have an interviewer of five very serious business meeting, and you dress like that. You know what kind of message you are sending, right? And then moreover, you are called to be a Christian. Imagine you're dressed that way, and then later the person asks you, what is your religion? Christianity. I go, Christianity, dressed like that. Please, okay, take note of all the things. It does matter before the Lord. It does matter. It is not a light matter. Because how you dress would reflect your heart. Of course, it also does not mean if you dress in a way that the world would like to call modest, for example, you can cover up all you want, means that you are automatically a modest person. And that is why when you have 1 Timothy chapter 3, you also notice that there is this teaching in verse 10 that you must be, as a woman professing godliness, you must also be adorned with good works. In other words, the dressing must be one that is unfeigned. How you dress is because of what is inside you. It must stem from inside out. Godliness reflected in terms of your dressing. Not godliness because why? Oh, because if I don't dress like this, wait, the people in tabernacle will be looking at me. Why come dress like that? I don't want people to say all these things, so therefore I dress nicely. No, it cannot be like this. It must be because you truly love the Lord and you want this kind of godliness, right, to be reflected in every area of your life, including your clothing. That your clothing demonstrates sobriety and orderliness. Oh, then you dress. And women, you should know what is the appropriate dressing. We don't need to emphasize so much here, right, to talk about rules. And sometimes when people talk about rules, they talk it like, it must be where.
What kind of shoes I must wear? What kind of earrings must wear? What kind of dress length? What kind of cutting? This and that. And sometimes all these questions are asked in order to test water. You know? It's like how some students sometimes when they go to class, right? They begin, they see a new teacher and then they try to test water, ask all kinds of questions. Where can push out? Where can push out? Where is the line? Christians shouldn't be like this. Just simply follow the Lord, everything will fall in place. And you should know what kind of dressing is appropriate. You should know. Because Christianity is not about, oh, you set legalistic rules and then you follow. It's not like this. But that does not mean that there are no standards. There are standards. You don't come into the church dressed like the way of the world. Sometimes the way Christians come into the church and the way they dress, even the people from the outside don't dress like that. They dress as though they are going into the pub or into the club. Please, you don't dress this way to meet the Lord. You shouldn't even be dressed this way in everyday life, and you dare to dress this way to come into the sanctuary of God. No wonder the Lord is angry with the professing community. Just like the way the Lord is angry in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16 onwards. So much so that you can see that at the end of it, the Bible says, right, especially in verse 24, whatever they have, I will strip it away. Instead of nice perfume, it will be a stink. Instead of wearing their nice dresses, they will be wearing sackcloth. Instead of beauty, they will be burning in the cities. And all the men, now take note, why the Lord mentioned men, okay? Thy men shall fall by the sword. Now this will be the men in which the woman would like to hook. Right? They like to go after all these men and then they try and bring it and they like to play around with them and then they will change them like clothes. Just like the number of clothes that we have. You look at verse 22, they have changeable suits of apparel. Right? And this can very easily become the problem of women. Women like to focus on fashion. Like it or not, fashion for women sells. When we went for the Greek pilgrimage, right, to the latest one, the seven churches, when we went into, well, because you know that when you go, you follow after a guide, can't be helped, the guide would like to bring you to some place in order to earn his commission, and you have to understand that they need to earn. So they bring you to these places, and then you go to these places, you go into that store. There was this man that came out, and then he says, first thing he did was to apologize to all the men. Sorry, men, this is the guy's session. So let's say you look, this is the entire store. Let's say, maybe only two rows are men fashion. Sorry, the truth is that men, women's fashion sells. Men fashion doesn't sell. So sorry, this is the session for you. The women, this is the entire session. All open to you. Right? And is it not true? Right, especially married couples. Let's be frank. When you look and open the cupboard, majority of the percentage of clothes is occupied, or of the wardrobe is occupied by who? Is it the men or the women? The women, right? Now, no shame of having all these kind of clothes, right? Because that's the way God made women. Women, of course, you have greater variety of clothes. It's fine. Men, because the way God has made men is that just very simple. You just wear a shirt, a tie, and then a long pants, and then you are suitable to go up already. That's the fashion of men. Only lately, men seem to be a little crooked in the head, and then they like to change their collar and everything. Other than that, last time in the past, it was not a problem. Women, a lot of clothes and a lot of changes of clothes now. You'll be very careful if your whole life is devoted to having the latest fashion out there. Your whole mind is about fashion. And you like to have your wardrobes to be filled with the latest collection of design. Now it's summer, so must have the summer design. Oh, not now, summer is out already. Oh, all this design is outdated. Let me get the autumn design, the winter design, the spring design. And then you chase after all these things. You have just been sucking by the ways of the world. You are now a distracted person, really. Don't let yourself be like this. You see how the Lord judged the people in those days? It matters. Most importantly, though, this wearing of clothes was a reflection of what was in their heart, because we see earlier, their heart was what? Their heart was proud. Their heart was wholly devoted unto sexual sin. And that's why they dress in this way. So be very careful, ladies. Be very careful, men also.
Men also very, very careful. Because the women behave in this way, they like to hook on to men. God will take away all the men. Right? Thy men. Why? Because the men will go out to fight, and all these men will fall. So left the woman behind. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she, being desolate, shall sit upon the ground. So all the men will be gone, and how desperate was this situation? The desperate nature of this situation is reflected in Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 1. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man. So when they see the man, all of them will become desperate. Last time, there were many women, there were many men. They can pick and choose which man they want. And then when they see that simple, silly man, they will hook the man on, just like in Proverbs chapter 7, with their wanton behavior. Now, they see one man, they are so desperate already. Hey, there is a man here, there is a man here. Right? Because you just imagine an island of women, and then there's no man. Well, once you see a man, wow, there is a man here. We have not seen a man for ages. Now there is a man. And then you look at what they say in order to approach that man. They desperately want him, so much so that they will say these words, "We will eat our bread and wear our own apparel." So in other words, you don't need to care about providing for us. And remember, in those days, they were already very poor, right? Because of war. Remember, we read earlier on, if a man have an outer coat, they would want to make that man to be a leader. Now, in that particular, in the same situation now, you have all these women, and then they look at the man, and because it's so rare to find a man, they will go to the man and say, "Hey, never mind about a desperate situation. With regards to food and water, we can resolve it on our own. Don't worry about providing us bread. Don't worry about providing us water. Don't worry about providing us clothes." Hey, woman, when you marry a husband, right, especially married women, will you tell your husband all these things? "Hey, husband, you don't need to provide me with all these things. Can or not? Yes, woman? Misha, can or not? You tell Deacon Pohau, "Hey, never mind, we just get married, huh? Okay? We just get married. Don't need to provide. You don't worry about my bread and apparel, okay? I will provide for my own, huh? You just marry me, lah. Okay, just let me call by your name. My name is Wee. Just let me call by Wee. Wee, right? Yes? Huh? Miranda, okay, no? Wee, also called by Wee, right? Wee. Miranda Wee. No more Miranda Hugh, Miranda Wee. I call. Honghao, don't need to Honghao, do you want to hear that? Don't need to provide all these things, huh? Honghao, don't need to work anymore. Miranda says I would look after myself. Ken, yes? I mean, nobody gets married and then don't expect the husband to provide. In fact, the husband should provide. That is written in 1 Timothy chapter 5, if you remember. Right? If any man provides not for his house, he is worse than an infidel, that means worse than an unbeliever. Like that is part of the duties of what it means for a man to be the head of the house. All these things comes under your purview. You should do that. Of course, under special circumstances, sometimes a man may not be able to find a job. A lady can go to supplement the income. But based upon normal situation, that is what a man must do. And I believe those of you who are good fathers, good husbands, you try your best to provide for the family. And you rightly should take pride in what the Lord has called you to do, and you should try your best to do it well. No woman would want to marry a man who says, I cannot provide for you. But because there were so few men that were around, even if I can find a man in which he would lie with me, and then after that we can have children to carry on the line, now we cannot find such a man. And if there is a man that's willing to take me in so that there can be children, I would want to have this man. I would want to have this man because no more men already. Even if you want to behave in that way, no man will come. Last time you sit in the street, so many men, you can pick and choose which man. Now you sit in the street, everyone that comes, almost everyone is a woman. It's as though only when seven women come, then one man will come. So desperate was the situation. And you know what it means, right? It means that when a nation have a lot of women and very little men,
Is there much hope for the nation? Remember, a nation consists of three elements. Number one, land. Number two, a constitution. And number three, people. You think about this element, people. It is going to be very difficult for the country to carry on having a people, future generation, not be present. And so, really, when we think about Israel, God was very merciful unto Israel, that even unto this day, Israel can still be a nation. That was the situation that will happen in, especially after the attack of the Babylonians. The very fact that the Lord can allow that to happen, and then in the end, at the end of everything, in this modern day, you still can have the nation of Israel, is really, truly by the Lord's mercy only. How desperate. In normal situation, when it happens like that, you can be very sure these people will be wiped out. And in many cases where you have wars, and that is exactly what happened in wars, right? All the men die and then left only the women behind, very few men. Very soon, that people also will die. But a lot of all these people called by certain race or by a certain name in the past, today we don't even hear of them, because what happened? There was a war, many men died, and after that these people are forgotten, they are just assimilated into another nation, and that's it. Because no hope for that people. Gone. And that is the Lord's judgment for the kind of flirting, right, behavior that you find in this nation, which is supposed to be a spiritual nation. So dear friends who profess, right, who are men and women professing godliness, be very, very careful of such behavior, okay? Which we are reflected in terms of the way we talk, with the way we look, right? The way we use eyes, you know, certain way, I do not know how, like you can use eyes in order to hook on the person of the opposite sex, and the way we dress. All these things do matter. Don't let this ill behavior come into the church. Be on guard against these things. Because when we are loose with all these things, you can be very sure that very soon the church will fall. The Lord will judge. The Lord, in this point of time, when it comes to the New Testament period, since you dress in this way and behave in this way, my witness is no longer here and you're no longer serious about my testimony, I will take away the light from this particular church. Boop, just take away, like in the seven churches of Asia. And then the church is just but a shell. The people may still come, they may dress that way, but in terms of the light of Christ, can it be seen in the church anymore? It will be gone. It will just be a church in name. It is actually no longer a church. Don't let that happen. Don't let that also happen into your own life, whereby you are called by the name of Christ, and because of all these things, in the end, people cannot see Christ in you. Dress modestly, even better, and in fact, it should be the way. Modest heart, modest conduct, modest dressing. That must be the way. Don't be like Israel. Our time is up. Let us pray. I'd like to ask Brother Isaac to close us in prayer.